For those who might be visiting this morning, I am not the regular preacher here. Our regular preacher is out in another state learning better how to evangelize. So I'm just a fill-in preacher. I want to talk for a few moments about sending the light. I think Trevor's going to crank up my amplifier a little bit. I asked Charles to lead that song, Sending the Light, because that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about personal evangelism. We recognize, I believe, that the church has responsibilities and the individual has responsibilities. We can read in the scriptures about the church's responsibilities and about individual responsibilities. In Acts 13, you see the scriptures up on the screen. Church at Antioch had teachers. They ministered to the Lord. And in verse 2 it says, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And they sent them away. They sent them away to evangelize, to preach the gospel. The church did that. The church has responsibilities in other areas. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, talks about the church having a collection so they can provide for needy saints. We know that, and we do that. Galatians 6:10 talks about individual responsibilities. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Individual responsibilities to do good. 2 Timothy 2:2 tells us about another responsibility. This is directions that Paul sent to Timothy. "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Timothy was to teach others who were to teach others. We read in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, about how this worked. "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." They were scattered because of the persecution in Jerusalem. They went everywhere preaching the word. The church didn't necessarily send them. They were individuals doing individual responsibilities. Now, for the church to do evangelism, we just contribute money like we did this morning. For the church to do work to help the needy saints, we contribute money like we did this morning. That's not so hard. But this individual evangelism thing, it's between us and somebody else. Now, for us to do good works individually, we give money or we give goods to somebody that needs it and somebody that wants it. And they're glad to see us. But now, we start talking about the scriptures, about inviting people to come and study, about inviting people to come to worship, they don't necessarily want to see us. They don't want to talk to us. It's more difficult. We all know that. But we can't hire someone to do our work. We can't hire someone to come and worship for us. We can't hire someone to come and sing for us. We have a responsibility, a personal responsibility. Individual evangelism is a personal responsibility. I have a couple of stories. One is, I think, a made-up story, but it's funny. It could be true, but I doubt it. A couple went to see a marriage counselor, and they were having some difficulty. Been married many years, about 30 years. So they went in and sat down, and the man who was the counselor sat across the dish from him, and he told the wife first. He said, "Now you tell me what the trouble is." And so she started in. She said, "Well," she said, "my husband doesn't pay me much attention. He's always busy. He never kisses me. He never hugs me. He never tells me how pretty I am or how nice I am or what a good helper I am." And she went on for about 15 minutes. And finally the counselor stood up and walked over, and he told her to stand up. So she stood up, and he hugged her, and he kissed her. And he told her how pretty she was and how wonderful she was and just what a great wife she was. In the meantime, the husband was just sitting there watching that. So finally the counselor quit hugging her, and he stepped back and he looked at the husband. He said, "Now, that's what your wife needs 3 times a week. Can you do that?" He said, "Well, I can bring her over here to see you on Monday and Wednesday, but I'm busy on Friday." Well, he didn't understand personal responsibility. I've got this story about who I am that I want to tell. I was at the weight loss clinic Tuesday. I have a lot of good stories about weight loss clinics because people can give me excuses that I never would have dreamed of myself. This lady came in. She wasn't losing weight, not doing any good. And I said, "What's the problem?" She said, "Well, it's my mother." She said, "I live with my mother. My mother doesn't have a job, so she stays home, but I have a job and I work. I come home every evening, and my mother fixed me supper." She said, "My mom's a southern cook. She says, for supper I have usually fried chicken or fried fish. She always makes me potatoes, usually fried potatoes or French fries. She always has iced tea. She always has cornbread, and she always fixes me a couple of yeast rolls. And we always have ice cream and pie for dessert." I said, "Well, you know, that's not a weight loss meal." She says, "Well, who am I to tell my mom what to fix for supper?" Well, I know this lady some, and if her mom fixed her stuff she didn't want, she would tell her. She would be the "who am I" in that case. But in terms of personal evangelism, I want to talk about who am I or who am I not. I'm not important enough for people to pay attention to my invitation, so don't try. I'm just a nobody in my group. They think I'm kind of a religious nut, so I don't try. I'm just a homemaker. I don't know anybody. I don't get out of the house. I don't go to the beauty shop. I don't go to the store. I don't go to the restaurant. I'm just a homemaker. I'm retired, so I'm not around my coworkers like I used to be. I knew them, and I always invited them to come to the worship all the time. Yeah. I'm a nurse, but I'm not the head nurse or the nursing director. I'm the nursing director, but I'm not the hospital administrator. Just nobody. I'm the hospital administrator, but those doctors could give me trouble if I say the wrong thing about salvation. I'm a doctor, but I'm not the chief of the medical staff. I'm the chief of the medical staff, but I want to be president of the Alabama Medical Association, so I don't want to offend anyone about their religion. I'm president of the Alabama Medical Association, but I want to be president of the American Medical Association, so I have to be careful about discussing religion. Now, I could cover people working at the bank and people working in construction companies, but you know the story. It's always, I'm not the right person. Who am I to do that? I'm not a local preacher. I'm not a full-time evangelist. I'm not an elder or a deacon. So So if someone I invite asks me if I'm one of those people, I just have to say no. I'm a school teacher, but I'm not the principal. I'm the principal, but I'm not the superintendent. I'm the superintendent, but I'm not on the school board. I'm on the school board, but I'm running for re-election and don't want to offend anybody. I'm just a teenager, and older people won't listen to me, and my friends will laugh at me. I'm uneducated and untrained. So who am I? It should be somebody else that does it. I just looked back this morning on the check marks on the board. We haven't got many check marks back there. I don't have one. So next question, what should I say? I just don't know what to say or how to start the conversation. I may say the wrong thing and hurt somebody's feelings. I might get my words mixed up and sound silly, like, would you church with me to go? They might laugh at me again. I might get nervous and make a mistake and invite them to a Bible study when I should invite them to a worship service. I may quote a wrong scripture. So what should I say? I'm afraid they won't believe me or listen to me. I'm afraid they will say no. They may laugh at me. They may not care about what I have to say. They may ask me a question and I won't know the answer. The fear of failure or being rejected. That's why guys won't ask girls for dates. They may say no. Rejection. I'm afraid they won't believe me or listen to me. I'm just not an eloquent speaker. I sometimes stutter. I can't always remember what I plan to say. I don't pronounce words correctly sometimes. What I plan to say and what I say is not always the same. Someone else should do it. Someone else should do it. Because they're older. They're younger. They're taller. They know more people than I do. They have a telephone, and I don't. They have a job and are around a lot of people they can ask. They don't have a job, so they have plenty of time. Actually, I just don't want to invite someone to study or worship because I might fail or I might be embarrassed. They may not like me anymore. So, pretty good reasons, you know. We all need excuses for not doing what we should be doing. So, I've given you some good reasons. You've all heard the story, the song, I mean. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. At least some of us have heard that song. So, those are my excuses, and I'm sticking to them. Now, these are not new excuses. You all probably recognize those excuses. Exodus 3:11, Moses said, who am I? 3:13, what shall I say to them? 4:1, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. 4:10, I am not eloquent. 4:13, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Same excuses we just covered. How did that go over? So the anger of the Lord was kindled. Didn't work. So let's go again. Who am I? I'm a citizen of this country and will not be put in prison for inviting someone to worship or study the Bible. I'm a member of the Lord's church, and I know people who are not saved. I am a person who does not want my friends and relatives to go to hell. I am a Christian who has a responsibility to teach others. I don't have listed, but I have friends, and I have relatives, and I have neighbors who are destined for hell. Do I care? I don't know what to say. Remember Harold Comer's lessons? He gave us really good lessons about what to say. They are listed on our website. The password is 157FAMILY. You can get on the website, get under members, click on that, and you can see what you can say. Here are just a few things. Come check us out. I worship at the Highway 157 Church. Come check us out. We have good Bible classes for your children. Our preacher teaches from the Bible. We don't have a creed book. We just use the Bible. You will not be singled out or embarrassed or asked to stand up and introduce yourself. You do not need to put any money in the collection plate when it is passed around. That's some things we can say. I'm afraid they won't believe me or listen to me. At the very least, give the people that you know an opportunity to not listen to you or not believe you. Abraham Lincoln said, success is going from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. If you don't have any failures, that means you're not trying. Remember, God wants people you know to hear the gospel because it is his power to salvation. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. God wants them to hear the gospel. Sometimes we might be the only people who will give them the opportunity. I'm just not eloquent and can't convince people. Zacharias, father of John the Baptist, was mute, but he got his message across. You see those verses, Luke 1:20, says you will be mute and not able to speak. Luke 1:63, he wrote it down. His name is John. He couldn't speak. He wasn't eloquent there. If we can't talk, we can write like Zacharias. We can mail invitations. We can leave invitation cards. Paul said he was untrained in speech, but he did okay. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 6, even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. He was untrained in speech. Someone else should do it. Somebody, anybody, but us. So what member of the Lord's church knows your family or your neighbors or your friends better than you do? If we saw someone we knew drowning in a swimming pool, what would we do? Would we throw them a life preserver? Would we tell them they should have had a lifeguard on duty? Would we have told them they should be a better swimmer? Would we be afraid to throw a life preserver because it might hit him in the head and they might be mad at me? If we throw a life preserver out and they don't grab it, what would we do? Remember, our friends and our neighbors who are not saved are drowning. They're spiritually drowning. We might be the only life preserver they got. Saving a soul is more important than saving someone who is drowning. And yet, all of us would throw out a life preserver if we were there at the swimming pool. Since Heath has been here, he has put me under a lot of stress and distress about personal evangelism. He seems to have more of an interest and drive than most I have heard. It's made me recognize that I have some weaknesses in that area. And a lot of us do, because we're not putting check marks on the board. So I hope we will consider this. I hope we will consider the lessons that were taught by Brother Comer that showed us how we should evangelize and ways to evangelize and the importance of evangelizing and our responsibility. If there's someone here this morning who knows how they should be saved and have not been obedient to the gospel, we ask you to come forward. If you're here and do not know what you should do to be saved, we ask you to come forward as well, and we will teach you as we sing this song.